A marriage can be a challenge for even the healthiest of couples. But couples who start off their marriage with some significant sinful patterns already in place can face some major challenges as they move forward. That was the case for Hans and Star Molgraf.
We had huge dysfunction in our dating relationship. In fact, when we told some of our friends that we were getting married, it was almost comical to them that we were going to do this. They could clearly see that we were starting out at a negative. The alcohol, the yelling, the screaming, the fighting, there was already physical abuse in our relationship. And quite honestly, I was afraid.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. Today we'll meet a couple whose story was almost a statistic. Almost. Stay tuned. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us on the Thursday edition. And this is day 24 of Family Life's month-long Oneness Prayer Challenge. A lot of you have spent the last 24 days with us praying every day together as a couple. Some of you have already let us know you missed a couple of days. That's okay. It's encouraging to hear back from you about how God is using this experiment in your marriage. And today we're encouraging you to pray about the fact that love is ultimately a choice. Pray with one another that you can choose to love one another every day, regardless of the circumstances, and to pray that you will choose what is best for you as a couple rather than fighting for your own personal agenda in marriage. Now, I know some of you are just now hearing about the 30-day prayer challenge. If you'd like to join us for the rest of September, or if you'd like to start the challenge fresh with you and your spouse, you can sign up to receive prayer prompts each day. You just go to familylifetoday.com and click the link in the upper left-hand corner of the screen that says Go Deeper and look for information about the 30-day Oneness Prayer Challenge. We will send you these prayer prompts each day via text message or via email, or you can get them through the My Family Life app. Again, go to familylifetoday.com and click the Go Deeper button in order to sign up to take part in the 30-day Oneness Prayer Challenge for husbands and wives. And we're going to be talking to a couple today that, back when they got started in their marriage, prayer was not a foundation of their relationship. In fact, you think about this, Dennis, every couple has got a story, and you can work side by side with someone. You can work for years and not know that there's a story hidden in that person.
And we did. We worked with this couple for over 3.5 years. And here's the quote that I love that our guests, let me just introduce them. Hans and Star Molgraf join us on Family Life Day. Hans, Star, welcome to the broadcast formally after working here for 3.5 years. Here's what Hans admitted. He said, Star and I didn't know anything about marriage when we got started 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you really say that?
I really said it.
I was going to read this verse at the beginning here before we hear your story, because it really is a cool story. Proverbs 24:3-4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Hmm. Now, it's true that wisdom does build a house, and it can be filled with pleasant things. Mm-hmm. But you can flip those words around. Foolishness can create a lot of chaos.
Right.
Can it?
Yes.
Let's go back all the way to when your marriage started.
Yeah.
In fact, when you dated. Do you remember Star, first time you saw him?
I do. We were at a high school party. I was 19, had just graduated high school. It was the summer after I graduated. Hans had been off away at his first year of college and come home, and I had actually dated a boy all through high school and had met Hans earlier than this party, but was very involved in this other relationship, and my girlfriends had said, oh, if you ever break up, Hans is very interested. And so I knew that he was going to be at this party because I was single at the time and had heard that he was going to be there and that he was interested.
Well, had you slipped some notes to her friends, Hans?
No real notes to her friends, but it was kind of the deal where when I first saw her that night at that party, my eyes got about this big, and I knew right then that I wanted to get with Star that night.
And so you ask her out on the spot?
Well, not on the spot, but as the night went on, I meandered my way over to talk to her and gain my confidence throughout the night. And we ended up talking, and we ended up spending a lot of time together that night.
So if you turned on the charm, how did he turn on the charm? What was the Hans charm like, Star?
Unfortunately, our charm was alcohol.
Oh, really?
Yes.
My charm was alcohol.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were drinkers and partiers, and it was your typical high school, college party. And so I'm sure there were kegs that were there, and there was drinking that was going on. And so
underage, I guess.
Underage, mm-hmm. Absolutely. This was just our way of life. This is what we did on the weekends.
So the cute boy who comes over, and you've had a few things to drink, and he's a little cuter because you've had a few things to drink, right?
Right.
And you guys wind up talking and liking each other. And then from there, did you say, well, what about next week or tomorrow night, or you want to get together?
Well, you know what? I said my confidence increased throughout the night, and yeah. As I drank more, that's where I got my confidence. And so actually, when I woke up the next morning, I was scared because I knew I really liked Star, but I knew that I didn't have the courage myself to go talk to her and sustain this relationship. So I was really scared, but I had done this over and over again, and I said to myself, this time, I'm not going to let this one get away. So I did ask her out on a date, and we ended up going out on a date. I think it was about 2 or 3 days after we had first gotten together.
Where'd you go, Star?
We went to, what was the name of that place?
Malibu Grand Prix Celebration Station.
Yeah, yes. Played video games?
Yeah. Yes, go-karts.
Road go-karts. That was our yes. That was our activity of choice.
And I thought, this guy does not like me at all. He was silent and quiet, and I thought, why am I here? Because he was so shy.
Mm-hmm. He was so petrified.
Yeah.
He was.
He was scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't drink. That night we didn't drink. We didn't have anything to drink. So it was just we had to be who we were. Right.
So how did this relationship ever get any traction? If you're shy and if...
Wait a second. You went to Grand Prix?
I'm just trying to throw that in. A little traction pun. Yes.
Want to make sure our audience didn't miss Bob's genius there.
So Hans, how did it ever get... Was it just lubricated by alcohol?
No, it's a really good question because that night was really uncomfortable. We went to Celebration Station, rode the go-karts, and we really did have... I had a good time looking at her. We didn't interact that much. And then we went back to her house or to somebody else's house, and I remember us watching a movie, which is always the safe date. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of interaction had to take place. And I remember watching the movie. It was... do you remember the name of the movie?
I don't.
Yeah, we watched the movie, and so at the end of the night, I went home. But here's what happened, is a couple days after that date, she went out of town for about a week. And so I got to spend about a week without her. I knew the time that I'd spent with her. I really liked the person that she was. I obviously liked the way that she looked. But when she was gone during that week, I really had to wrestle through because this was a pattern in my life. I had gone through girl after girl, real short relationships, and I had to make a decision. Do I want to pursue this or do I want to give up? And I made a decision that I wasn't going to give up. And so shortly after she got back from her little vacation, I'll never forget sitting in the driveway in my little blue truck, and I looked her right in the eyes, and I told her I was serious about her. And something about that moment just gave me the confidence. I should say this. Something about her response gave me the confidence to continue on and to gave me more confidence to be myself around her. And that's really when our relationship started.
Yeah. I mean, here we are on the third date.
Yeah.
And we're having a DTR.
We are.
Define the relationship. What do you think about that, Star?
Well, I was interested. I just thought we were going to date and we were going to have fun. And I was excited. I really liked him. I was very attracted to him and very drawn to him. And I was excited.
But you said something about her response gave you confidence. What was your response when he said, I really like you and I'd like to pursue this?
I'm pretty sure I just said, okay.
And it may have not, quite honestly, I don't remember what she said, but she's got a look about her. And when she gave me that look, she still gives me that look today. Hmm. I just knew. I knew that she was interested in me. And that made me really, really, really happy. And it gave me some confidence.
Okay, so we all know now you got married on the fourth date. I mean, how long before you got engaged?
Well, it took about 18 months. And our whole dating relationship was a little crazy. We got serious really, really quick after that point. And as Star mentioned, we got together the summer after my freshman year at college. And so I went off to school to Southwest Texas State in San Marcos, and she was in Houston. And so we were about 200 miles apart for the first little phase of our relationship. And we couldn't stay away from each other. We couldn't not talk to each other. Our phone bills were crazy huge. Do you remember what they were? They were in the hundreds of dollars at that time. And either she was in San Marcos on the weekend or I was driving back to Houston. And so we really practiced a long distance relationship for that first semester at school.
You had grown up in the church, right?
I did.
Did you consider yourself a follower of Christ?
Yeah. You know what? Our family growing up, we went to church all the time and we did all the right things. I was in Sunday school. I was memorizing scripture. I was doing all the right things, doing the youth group deal. One of my memories growing up was my mom sitting with me in elementary school. And in fact, I still have this little book. And it's about the size of an index card, and it's red, and it says my prayer book in my mom's writing.
Wow.
And there was only two or three pages written in there, but I know that my parents tried. I know that they did their best, and they tried to teach me about the Lord. And looking back, I'm really just so thankful for that.
But by the time you're a freshman at San Marcos and you're meeting Star at a party where both of you are drinking, something hadn't taken completely in your own heart, had it?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I think middle school was a very transitional point for me. In elementary school, I would say that I was a normal elementary school kid growing up in the church. You wouldn't notice anything different or extraordinary or anything uncommon. But then when I got into middle school, a lot of things started to change, obviously. And my confidence just, it went from about a 9 down to about a 4. Mm. And I just started feeling like everybody's eyes were on me and my self-esteem was just so low. And so my middle school years were really, really hard. And then getting into high school, again, I had one of those decisions to make. I had a decision to make where I can go through my high school days just kind of going around with this low self-esteem, or I can actually do something about it. So I decided to pour myself into sports. And one of the things I was really good at was soccer. And I was able to join the varsity soccer team my freshman year. And I was hanging out with a lot of older kids. I was a freshman hanging out with a lot of juniors and seniors. And those juniors and seniors were a part of the party crowd. Mm. And again, my self-esteem is I'm trying to rebuild it. I'm trying to figure out who I am. And so my solution was alcohol. I'll never forget the first time riding in the back seat of a guy's car and taking my first sip of a Budweiser. In fact, thinking back to it, I remember making the decision to drink it so fast to make them believe that this wasn't my first drink. And that was the start of when alcohol really started to play a part in my life.
Star, what about your own spiritual roots? Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did not. My parents were divorced when I was 5. And my mom remarried when I was 8. I had a stepdad who was very mean and abusive, and Christ was not a part of our home.
So when the two of you get together and there's alcohol and the relationship is heating up and you can't be away from one another, and I'm guessing there was maybe more to it than that in your dating relationship, right?
For sure, yeah. I mean, we were having sex before we got married, and alcohol and sex were really a foundational part of our relationship. And I wouldn't even say that we were really in love. I just think we were having fun together, and we were more infatuated with each other.
So how did you decide to finally pop the question and say, we ought to get married?
Well, my popping the question was a little interesting, and unfortunately, it was over a little white stick with a plus and a minus sign. And
hold it, a white stick with a plus and a minus sign.
Yeah, this is after your time, I'm sure. But we use these to determine that Marianne was pregnant with our last.
You know what?
Child.
I'm glad we clarified.
They didn't
that,
have those sticks back then.
Because we really didn't have those sticks with a plus or a minus. And it showed up she was pregnant.
It showed up that she was pregnant.
Star, when you first started wondering, I wonder if I might be pregnant, were you panicked?
I was very panicked. I was totally oblivious to the fact that this could happen to me. and completely unaware, completely irresponsible. And I can remember a friend saying to me, what if you're pregnant? Because I was so tired and experiencing just some other symptoms. And I thought, oh my goodness, could I be pregnant? I knew immediately after she said that, that I was in fact pregnant. And Hans and I were living together. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was in his apartment. I had a dorm room that I think I spent 3 nights in the whole time we were mm-hmm. away at school. And so I was at his apartment when he came home from work. And I can remember being in a panic and saying, we have to go now. I have to get a pregnancy test now. And he was real relaxed and said, yeah, we'll go. It's fine. You know, he wasn't real worried. I think he thought, surely she's not pregnant. But I knew before I even took the test that I, in fact, was pregnant. And so we went to get this test and we came home and I can remember going to the bathroom and he's like, okay, you go to the bathroom on it and you get out and let me look at it. And don't ask me why we did this, but this is what we did. And so I did and I got out and he's in the bathroom and he's in there for a long time. And I'm going, that thing said it's only going to take like 2 minutes. What does it say? And he's got the door locked.
I was already starting to control what I was thinking when I was in the bathroom. It came up immediately that she was pregnant and I saw the positive sign. And you know, really, she described her reaction as being scared. I had more the mentality of, okay, I know what I need to do. Going back to my childhood, one of the things that my dad did really well was provide for our family. I saw him go to work every day. I saw him do everything that he could to put food on the table, make sure that we had a roof over our head. And so in my mind, when I saw that positive sign on that pregnancy test, I knew that I needed to go get a job. I knew that I needed to get a job with benefits. I knew that I needed to get ready to start my family. And I knew the time was now.
And you were how old at the time?
20. I was 20 at the
time. And you were 19.
I was 19.
Yeah.
And so here you are, pregnant. You knew you needed to get a job. Did you also know I need to get married?
Yeah, we immediately started talking about our wedding, and I was immediately starting to think about who was going to be my best man. And we found out in November of 93, and we got married in January of 94.
Now, this is a big step for a couple to take to get married.
Right.
Star, was there anything in the back of your mind going, I wonder if I really ought to marry this guy?
Yes, there were a lot of flags for me. We had huge dysfunction in our dating relationship. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we told some of our friends that we were getting married, I mean, they literally chuckled. Really? I mean, you guys are going to get married? Because they could see the alcohol, the yelling, the screaming, the fighting. There was already physical abuse in our relationship, mm-hmm. and they could clearly see that we were starting out at a negative. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was almost comical to them that we were going to do this. And quite honestly, I was afraid. I mean, I thought there were no choices.
Well, sure there were.
Not in my mind.
Not in your mind.
Not in my mind. In my mind, I could not do this alone. I was not going to give this baby away, and abortion was not an issue. So we were going to have this baby. And
I have to ask you, why was abortion not a true option for you?
Even though I did not come from a Christian home, my mom, we had morals. She was very moral with a lot of stuff that was just wrong. And that was something I grew up being told was wrong. And so that was just, I mean, from the time that, as long as I can remember, that was not something that was okay. It was a life. It was recognized as a life in my heart. And there was no way that I was going to have an abortion.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we didn't even really discuss any other issue. I mean, he literally came out of the bathroom talking about our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very fearful. But I guess somewhere inside of me, I hoped that we would be different. I watched my mom go through divorce. I watched brokenness. And I can remember my whole childhood thinking, I will never live this way. My life will never look like this. And the route that we were on, there's no reason that my life shouldn't have been just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering is, despite your fear, despite your background, and everything that was going on in you, your friends telling you, laughing at you, talking about getting married, you still headed straight into the storm.
Yes.
Why? Did you love him?
As much as I knew how to love at that point, I loved him. I don't know that we really at that time had experienced true love. Mm-hmm. I did not know the Lord, but I just hoped that we could make it.
So did marriage make any difference in your relationship? I mean, the natural question that Bob and I ask at some point in our conversations with couples is, when did you know your relationship was in crisis or in trouble? It sounds to me like you started your relationship in crisis.
We did start our relationship in crisis, but you know, when I found out that she was pregnant, I went into performance mode. I had watched a family do the right things growing up, and so I knew what we needed to do. I did end up getting a job. I did end up going to church every single Sunday. We did get an apartment. I provided for the family. I did all the right things.
Did you drop out of college?
I did. I had to work full time. We both had to get jobs.
I'm just sitting here imagining your wedding day. What you had dreamed of since you were a little girl, Star, the day you would get married and you would become someone's wife. Now here you are getting married because you're pregnant to somebody you're scared of at some point, wondering, is this thing going to work? Were you standing at the altar going, what am I doing? Or were you there going, okay, this will work?
I was there saying, okay, this is going to work.
So how long after you were married when you started to go, I don't know if this is going to work?
Probably within a year. You can kind of coast through the first year with your jobs and your busyness. And we had a new baby, and I had no idea that I would fall in love with Kylie like I did. I was very selfish, and I didn't really know what I was going to do with a baby, but I just loved being a mom and dad to her. Mm-hmm. And that euphoria kind of coasted us through for a little bit. We still had a lot of dysfunction going on, but we just kept pressing through. And then after about a year, it started to click to me that things were not getting better. They were getting worse. Mm-hmm. And I began to beg Hans to go to counseling. Mm-hmm. I knew that if we didn't get outside help, that we weren't going to make it.
And when you say things were getting worse, how was that manifesting itself?
I would have anger fits. I didn't know how to deal with a lot of the emotion that I was experiencing. We had good days, and we fought. We fought about the normal things, about finances, about how to raise Kylie and just different things. But what was unique about our arguments is that I couldn't win the arguments. Star's a really good talker, and I could not work my way conversationally around her. And I just remember my head spinning and not knowing how to work through these arguments. And the only thing that I knew how to do was to yell and scream.
Did you hit her?
I would grab Star out of frustration and shake her. I remember at one of the times when it got to the worst was when we were in Houston in one of our first house, in our first house, and we had gotten in an argument. I don't know what it was about. And I grabbed her and I threw her down on the bed. And I remember thinking to myself, I kind of got a picture of what that looked like from a third party. And I was disgusted. And this happened all the time. And after it would happen, I'd be broken. I'd be on my knees asking her, begging her to forgive me. And I'd swear to myself, I'd swear to her, I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna do the right things.
Did you ever call the police, Star?
I don't think so. I don't think I ever called the police. I just used to leave. I would leave. Mm-hmm.
What did that do to you emotionally to have him so forcefully grab your shoulders and shake you and throw you down?
Well, I grew up in a home where I watched my stepdad do this to my mom, and it was far worse. And so my fears that I was going to become her, that my marriage was going to look like hers did, it was happening. It was my worst fear was coming true. It was happening right before my eyes. And I felt like it was moving so fast that there was really nothing I could do to stop it.
You finally decided, I'm going to take some action. I'm taking the baby and I'm going.
I did. After I realized that that we weren't going to get help, that we weren't going to go to counseling, and that it wasn't going to change, I had a spirit and an attitude of being done, and went out one night with a bunch of my girlfriends. Hans was out of town. He was gone for a week, and we went out all the time. We were in church on Sundays. We had joined a church, and they had really wrapped their arms around us, and they were really caring for us. They gave us a baby shower. They gave us a wedding shower and really loved on us. There were no young couples in the church. All of our friends were our same friends from high school and college. And so we would go out together on the weekends, and then we would go out separate, where he would go with just guys and I would go with just girls. And I was confronted one night when I was out. Actually, I think this was a night when we were together, mm-hmm. by another man who was very persistent and very attractive in my mind. And it wasn't long after that that I became involved in an affair. And so much so that I was willing to leave my marriage for this man. And if it wasn't going to be him, it was going to be someone like him in my mind. In my mind, we were so miserable. everything had died. And we were hardly friends, and I couldn't ever imagine us being intimate again. I couldn't ever imagine us having a relationship where I could spend the rest of my life with him. And so I became very involved in this relationship, and Hans was gone for the week. When he returned home to me with my bags packed, leaving, taking our baby to go live with my mom.
When you walked in the house, saw those bags, saw the look on your wife's face, what'd you think?
I knew she was serious. She had told me, she had been asking me for several months, begging us to go to counseling, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I just wanted to do everything by my own. I wasn't wanting or willing to let anybody else in to help me with some of the issues that we were having. And it really got my attention. It really got my attention.
As you guys are talking, my mind is reflecting on a woman that I talked to who had lost all hope in her marriage. And quite honestly, apart from an act of God, reaching down and healing her marriage and healing your marriage, you guys were on a trail destined for, you know, a continuation of an affair, divorce, maybe remarriage, you know, going your own separate ways. And as I talked with the young woman about her marriage and prayed with her, this is where the gospel that the scriptures present is either the truth or it isn't the truth. Mm-hmm. God is either the redeemer, mm-hmm. Or he's not. He isn't able to redeem. And I know that he doesn't redeem every situation because he didn't make us to be robots. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear a bit later your story of how he got your attention, Hans, and yours, Star, and how he ultimately brought healing, grace, forgiveness, and redemption. And it really is a great story, but I want to just speak to the person who's out there listening to you and they're raising their hand saying, that's us. Hmm. I've lost hope. I'm bitter. I'm hurt and I want out. And I would just say, get on your knees and ask God to heal, redeem, and restore. He is able. But it's gonna come at a cost, and that cost is your surrender to Jesus Christ and the Bible.
Yeah, we have not mentioned this yet, but you guys are going to be joining us mm-hmm. next month in Lynchburg, Virginia, where we are hosting our I Still Do one-day event for marriages. Mm-hmm. It's going to be live at the Thomas Road Baptist Church on Saturday, October 17th. Along with Hans and Star, Alistair Begg is going to be with us. Crawford and Karen Laritz, Alex Kendrick will be joining us. Of course, Dennis and Barbara Rainey are going to be there as well. We've got a big day planned. And if you live in the Lynchburg area, you ought to plan to join us live at Thomas Road Baptist Church for this event. If you don't live in the area, you can still join us because this event is being simulcast in hundreds of churches all around the country. And if you're not yet signed up for the live I Still Do simulcast on Saturday, October 17th, you can still sign up. Go to familylifetoday.com and click the link in the upper left-hand corner of the screen that says Go Deeper and look for information about I Still Do, the one-day event that we're going to be hosting on October 17th. I should also mention that we feature Hans and Star's story in our Art of Marriage video event, and there have been thousands of churches that have hosted one of these Friday night, Saturday events for couples. It's a marriage retreat that you can host in your local church. It's easy to do. There are powerful stories, great Bible teachers, and it'll have a dramatic impact on the couples in your community and the couples in your church. If you have any questions about I Still Do or about the Art of Marriage, and you'd like to get in touch with us by phone, our number is 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today, 1-800-FL-TODAY. You know, our goal here at Family Life is to provide help so that your marriage and your family can be aligned with God's purposes for marriage and family. And we're grateful for those of you who support the work that we're doing here at Family Life with your donations, grateful for our legacy partners who make monthly donations, and those of you who will from time to time get in touch with us and say, keep going with your financial support. Right now, if you're able to make a donation to help support this ministry, we'd love to send you as a thank you gift a 2016 calendar. It's the Family Life calendar for next year. It actually starts with October of 2015, so you can put it up right away when you receive your calendar. Again, it's our thank you gift when you make a donation today. Go to familylifetoday.com and click the link in the upper right-hand corner of the screen that says I Care. You can make an online donation, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY, make your donation over the phone, or you can mail your donation and request the calendar when you write to Family Life Today at Box 7111, Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72223. Now, tomorrow we're going to hear about a conversation that Star Mulgrave had with a marriage counselor. And the question that he asked her that for the first time caused her to think that maybe there was hope for her marriage. We'll hear that story tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Hans and Star Mulgrave. Hope you can be back for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.